I'm Dani, and this is the Scream Princess Podcast.
It's the first podcast of 2026, and I feel like it's been ages since I've recorded one that I kind of forgot what I was doing. So I've changed the studio around and I'm setting up all the lights, but I am joined today by my first guest of the year, actor Nathan Head. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Do you know what? I've been watching your podcast and this is the first one without a pink Christmas tree in shot.
You've been watching the December podcast, yes. I have taken the Christmas tree down because it's now January. Saying that, I've had friends that have left their Christmas trees up all year round, and it's gotten to that point in the year where they're like, well, it's getting close to Christmas now, so I may as well just leave it up. I'm not that girl. As soon as Christmas is done, the tree's down.
Yeah, me too. Boxing Day, I kick it out of the room. I've got a family member that leaves it up all year, and she dresses it up for like Valentine's Day, Halloween. It's just in the corner of the house all the time.
I kind of like that, but I feel like Halloween, I think one year I got one of those like twiggy trees. So not like a Christmas tree. I got one of those kind of twiggy, spooky looking things. And I did do a Halloween tree one year, but I got rid of that tree. Christmas only.
Yeah.
So how was your Christmas and New Year?
Usual, uneventful. I'm not a big Christmas person.
Are you not? So. See, I like presents. It's not really the Christmas part I'm into, but I like shopping and I like presents. So...
I mean, it's the treats, like the mince pies, the leaf cooking cookies, the gingerbread, the Christmas cake.
I like those German Christmas biscuits you get in Lidl and Aldi. They're like gingerbread.
I'm pronouncing that right. Sorry to any German followers. Leafkuchen, that's how I pronounce it.
There you go.
A soft gingerbread coated in chocolate.
That's the ones. And I can't remember if it's Aldi or Lidl, but one of them is vegan. Because I think some of the chocolate on some of them is not. One of them uses dark chocolate, so I can have them. So...
Yeah,
that's what I look forward to all year round. And then they kind of come out in November, don't they? So after the Halloween stuff goes, you're like, German Christmas biscuit season. But, so this is the first time you've used Zoom.
First time I've used Zoom. Thanks for telling everybody. You've just outed me on the computer. Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. You just click a link and it opens, doesn't it?
It is pretty straightforward. Now, I started this podcast last year. And it was kind of an idea I had at the end of December. And I was like, right, I'm going to launch it January. I had no clue at that point how I was going to do it. And I kind of looked into the various ways of doing it. And I realized I could record via Zoom, which is why I use Zoom. But then I actually, through a Google deep dive, learned that I can tether my phone to my laptop through an app called Droidcam. And then it actually uses my phone camera, which is a better quality than my webcam.
So
I felt like a tech genius that week when I worked all of that out. So that's what I do. That's how I've managed it. But I've kind of slowed it down this year. So last year I actually recorded 53 podcasts because there were 53.
That's more than one a week.
Well, I recorded 52, and then I realized because I put them out on a Wednesday, and there was actually 53 Wednesdays. Last year. I still can't get over the maths in that, but it's how it worked out. So I had to record one just by myself, so I did kind of a yearly wrap-up thing. But then I decided, like, last year it was a lot recording one to go out a week. It's like the recording, the editing, the finding guests, and, you know, scheduling everybody. So I decided this year I'm kind of slowing it down. I'm doing one a month, and then I'm filling my YouTube channel with like other things this year.
You know
gives me more creative output. So
there's no pressure either, is there, then, to like have a deadline? And
exactly. I feel like I can get one guest a month, so I can probably manage that. So I would say, for those who kind of don't know you, maybe somebody's watching this and they haven't discovered you yet, and they should have, but you're predominantly horror, aren't you? So obviously this is a kind of horror, spooky podcast, but I don't know whether you set out just to do horror at the beginning or whether you kind of just went that way.
I like horror. I'm a horror fan myself, so I enjoy that. But you know what it's like. It's like I don't specifically say, I'm going to do a horror film next. Yeah. It's just that's the work that comes to you, isn't it? Because you've done horror films before. People that make horror films are fans of horror. Yeah. So It's not intentional, but I don't mind because I love horror, so I don't mind. But I
Yeah,
prefer
I'm
science.
exactly the same. I didn't, you know, we both went to drama schools and like didn't set out just to do horror. Like you train in all kinds of aspects, but once you step into horror, I feel like it's a community, isn't it? Rather than just a, you know, each film standing alone. Like everybody knows everybody and it just kind of works out that way. But yeah, I'm
Everyone
a
knows
big
each
fan
other.
of horror. Are these all your film posters in the background? I'm kind of sneaking into your screen.
All of them. I put that up just for this video, just to decorate the scenery behind me. But
Did
that was part of, you know, when you're at a convention, you have the banner behind you, this sort of
you?
erect and everything. That was the remains of that. I had this one for years, and
Right.
someone pointed out to me at a convention last year or the year before. I used to have my social media things at the bottom saying, like, at Nathan Head, follow me on blah, blah, blah. With the logos, with the old Twitter logo of the bird. And a lot of people pointed out that I might offend people by having the old Twitter logo up there because of everything with Musk and Trump and
Oh
everything. So I
God.
thought, oh, I don't want to offend people. So I just cut it up and use that as like whatever.
The
That was
opposite.
better.
I like to offend people as best I can. I feel like there's too many snowflakes around and everyone needs a little bit of offense to kind of, you know, go back to normal.
It's you can't say with them
If
anything.
somebody is
Absolutely.
offended by a logo, then they are going to have big problems making their
Well,
way
but I
through life.
thought, well, you don't want to rock the boat, do you? Especially, yeah.
Oh, no. I think life's too short. Rock the boat.
Yeah.
It's more fun that way, I think.
Yeah.
We actually met at a convention, didn't we? So it was, I can't remember what year it was. It was,
About 2018.
was it that long ago?
I was really specific. I'm only saying 2018 because I had loads of conventions in 2018.
Right.
It seemed I had like one a month, so if I met you, it was probably at that one, I
Yeah,
think.
I mean, it was ages ago. I can't remember where it was because I remember it was one of those ones where they like book you a train ticket. And I was living in London at the time and I was like, okay, so I'll just get on the train and then end up at the destination. I couldn't tell you for the life of me what the convention was called or where it was. But
I know. I can't remember what it was. It was an MCM, wasn't it? Was
I
it?
don't know. No,
Well, was also there,
it
wasn't
was a
it?
little one. It was like a little independent one. Because you remember, I think
I
we had like
remember
issues
what.
getting paid in the end and then it took
Yeah.
ages to get paid.
Yes, that was somewhere like Burnley or Blackburn, wasn't
It was somewhere really random. Yeah, maybe it was Burnley or something. I don't know. It was a long
Then
time
you
ago.
got to come back with your chips inside because it was raining outside. Do you remember that?
Yeah, and they wouldn't let you have food. You couldn't bring food in, and you're like, well.
Didn't have food in the venue. They wouldn't let us.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Yeah, I'd like to, I mean, I've done quite a few conventions, and that was probably the biggest shambles, that one. Like, mostly they run very smoothly.
They're all pretty easy, aren't they? And they're a day
Yeah.
out, even if you don't make much money, it's a day out. You
Yeah.
get to come out your work, meet the fans, and I enjoy it.
Yeah. Do you still do a lot of conventions?
I do, but I haven't had that many. I think last year I did about four.
That's quite a lot in a year. I do like maybe one or two max. I did one in the northeast. I've moved now. I live in the northeast. So I did one up here. So it's quite nice to actually do something without having to travel very far because obviously I've realized moving up here, I'm kind of really far from the industry. But it's a nice, peaceful life.
Why did you move? Is that your life? Or
Why did I move?
yeah, you don't have to go into specifics, but was it just life took you there, or was there a
Yeah,
reason?
not well. A lot of my friends live up here, and my dad was originally from up here, so I've got family up here. And I don't know. I just kind of felt a pull. I think I'd had enough of London. I'd been there 16 years, and I realised most of my work was not in London. So I'd be in London working really hard to pay, like, you know, London mortgage and London bills and things. And most of my work was out of London. I'm like, so when I'm in London, I'm just kind of sitting in my flat because I don't really party or anything anymore. Like when I was younger, like London made sense because I was going out all the time and I was kind of doing London. But I don't really do that. You know, I like the thought of going to like a bar at night time or a club or something would horrify me now. I'm like, I like to be in my pajamas on by like 7 p.m. and a cup of tea watching something on TV. Yeah, so yeah, I just thought I want to live by the sea because in London again you're stuck in between all of these people. So I just decided to move, new adventure, and that was it. So yeah, that was it. And then it all worked out. I moved up here, met Kyle, and got some cats. I don't know if you can see her here. I had
At
this
the
blanket because
moment.
it's cold, and I was like, the blanket's going to go on me, and then she sat on it. So obviously, I can't move her.
I'm not really a cat person. My dad has got loads of cats. Loads. My sister keeps buying them for him. She hasn't bought him any recently.
Like, how many is loads?
Well, for a while, she was moving around, so he was also looking after her cats, and she had about four or five, and he had about five of his own, so
Bloody
there was
hell.
quite a lot. But then, I'm going to sound like I'm making fun of this, but I'm not, but then he had a house fire, and some of them were lost in the fire, so that whittled it down a little. I think he's only got about four now. I think he's got two of my sisters. One was in a car crash, and he's only got one eye. He's perfectly independent now.
A cat was in a car crash?
He wasn't driving. He got hit by a car.
Right. Like, he was in an accident. The cat was in a car crash.
Yeah, we didn't think he'd make it at first. He had to be fed through a tube for ages, but he's perfectly fine now. And he's got two kittens and one of his own.
So are you a dog person then?
I am, yeah. I haven't had a dog in a while. But
See, I'm both, because I had dogs. Since, like, I left home, I got a dog, and then I always had dogs. So the whole time I was in London, I had dogs, until kind of end of lockdown, I lost my last dog, Dolly. And then when I moved to the Northeast, it's just so cold. I did think I'd get another dog, but when you have a winter in the Northeast, like, you do not want to go out and do that dog walk in the morning, or, like, you know, three or four times a day. So cats is easier.
Yeah, they're more independent, aren't they? You can leave them to their own devices. And
yeah, and they're indoor cats as well, because I just don't trust cats with Rose, and I feel like I would be too stressed every time they go out, like, worrying what's going to happen to them. So, and it protects the wildlife, because I've got seagulls that nest on my roof, and, like, when I'm in the living room, the cats sit there, and they can see the kitchen roof, and they're constantly, like, jumping around at the window. So I think kind of protects wildlife having the cats inside, and the cats get everything they need inside, so they're good. They're good. So what is the first horror film that you remember watching?
Oh gosh, I don't know. See, I was kind of brought up on horror films. I mean, I'm not like my parents let me watch these really extreme stuff as a kid, but I was always, when I was really little, my mum worked from home. She was an Avon lady. So for most of my early youth, I was just sat in the living room helping her organise lipsticks while we had a Carry On film in the background, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I always like Carry On screaming, and that's a horror, but it's a kid's safe horror. And
yeah, I only watched that like a couple of years ago, I think.
It's brilliant. It's one of my favourite films. And Whatever Happened to Baby Jane? You know, these sort of like, they were extreme when they came out, but now they're kind of kid-friendly horrors. So I grew up watching things like that. So I've always liked horror. It was probably one of those two was my first. I think my first proper serious adult horror was probably Hellraiser 4 when it came out.
How come 4?
Because it was shown on TV when it came out, about 96.
Right.
And the way it was advertised on TV at the time, I think it was Channel 4 late at night, they didn't advertise it as the fourth in a franchise. They just advertised it as a standalone film. And I watched it thinking, ooh. And then the person who I was with at the time, my partner, we were in the local video shop. And we thought, oh my gosh, there's another one and another one, another one. So we binge watched the first three after that.
Uh-huh.
So I watched them in reverse order. Then I just watched the rest as they came out.
Well, my last guest was one of the Cenobites.
It was Simon. Yeah. I watched
that. Have you worked with Simon?
No, but I've done the convention with him.
Right, okay, yes. He was my last guest in December. And then you in January.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have a favourite horror film?
I don't know.
Or, like, what one would you say cemented your love of horror? Because for me, like, the first one I watched is not the one... I mean, it's still a great film, but it's not the one that kind of cemented my love of horror. For me, it was, like, then in the 90s, being a teenager and watching, you know, the revival of the slashers kind of got me.
Was it Scream or something like that?
Yeah, that's what got me hooked, Scream.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I watched all them at the cinema when they came out, like Scream, I Know What You Did Last Summer, and all, you know, and, like, slashers. They were really popular in the
I think 90s, I was too young to watch them at the cinema, so I had to wait till they came out on video. VHS.
Showing our age here, Danny.
The first part
I think that cemented me was either The Gate. Have you ever seen that film?
It's a brilliant
film.
Who's in it? Is it Johnny Depp?
No. I think it was before Johnny Depp was an actor. Really early 80s, The Gate. Oh, I forget the name of the actor.
Is he in something about a gate? Ninth Gate or something?
He was in The Ninth Gate, which was about a guy that collected books, and there was a what's it called when there's three books? Is it called a triquetra or something like that? You know,
I don't know if I've even seen it. I was just, when you said The Gate, I was like, is it that one? But I don't think I've seen it.
That's a really good film, The Ninth Gate. But The Gate from the 80s cemented my love of horror. And I think The Mist, I really enjoyed The Mist. You know, the Stephen King film, have you ever seen it?
Yes.
That, It's I wouldn't say it was my favorite horror, but when you boil it down, and I think I rewatch it probably every year, so that must mean I like it. But yeah, probably The Mist. I just like them interdimensional monster movies. They're really good.
Yeah. Is that the one they did a TV series for a few years ago? Was it The Mist?
The TV series was, can I swear on your podcast?
Yes.
It was fucking shite. The TV series, what I liked about
I
the
didn't
film,
mind
man.
it.
I tried watching it about 3 times and I can never get past about episode 4. What I liked about the film was, and the book, if you've read the book, it's about this secret government project called Project Arrowhead, where they open a gateway to another dimension. All this mist leaks out, all these monsters leak out, people are trapped in the supermarket being killed
Okay.
off by the monsters. In the TV series,
It
they
didn't really
changed all
explain
that.
any of that.
There was no monsters. It was hallucination. It was a gas that was released, and when you breathed in the gas, you hallucinated and thought you saw monsters. And that was the TV series. They changed it way too much.
Yeah.
And I don't.
I mean, I'm not a big fan of if there's obviously if there's a book and then there's a film, you have to kind of keep it as close as you possibly can to the book, I think, for the most part, because obviously the readers want to see that story. Although I totally understand that, you've got a book that takes you however many hours to read. You've got a film that you've got 90 minutes and you have to condense it to kind of get it into the 90 minutes. Now, I haven't actually read the Jurassic Park book, which I've just got myself a copy actually, because apparently that's very different. I mean, I love the film, but that's meant to be very different to the
I've
book.
never read it, but I've heard
It's
it's
meant to be
different, but
way
yeah.
darker, the book, but it's like then they've condensed it into 90 minutes, but they've also like toned it down for an audience to not be so horrified. I don't know. Sometimes books I think can be scarier.
Just use your imagination. There was a book
Yeah.
that my mum and dad always told me to read when I was a kid called The Rats. I think it was James Herbert. Have you ever read that?
I
They
haven't
made
read
a
it, but I
film.
know of it.
The film is okay. It's a decent campy B movie horror, but the book, because I think it's because you use your imagination as you're reading it, and like just like the description of the rats gnawing at flesh and things like that, it's really scary. So as you say, like
Yeah.
reading a book can sometimes be scary.
See, I love reading and I probably read more than I watch films, but
Really?
I don't really read horror. I read like crime
Yeah.
thrillers and things, and then in the summer I'll read like a real like chick summer, beach romp. But I find horror, because with a film, I can sit and I can watch a 90-minute film, and at the end, generally, the killer gets caught or it goes away and everything's okay for the most part, unless they leave it open for a sequel. But usually, you can sleep. But with a book, if it's a scary part and I need to go to bed, I can't put the book down because I need to get past the bit, and then I could be there, for like days and not
Yeah.
sleep. I've
You
always been
find
like
the
that. I
whole
used to
point.
read as a kid, like the Point Horrors and the Fear Streets. Did you
Yeah,
read those
Goosebumps.
as a
Did you read those?
teenager?
Goosebumps. Did you read those?
I didn't. No, I think I jumped over Goosebumps and went on to the Point Horror. They were slightly scary. I think Goosebumps was slightly younger, and I did read the scarier ones. Maybe I should have stuck to Goosebumps, and then I'd have been less frightened.
Desensitized you what reading all them horror
Yeah,
books.
I actually bought Kyle a Goosebumps set though last Christmas, so he's
Yeah.
been reading them.
They're
But
good.
yeah, he likes stuff like that. I think because you can read them in a couple of days. I think he'd get bored if he was reading like a novel that lasted too long. Let me just.
What's up?
I was just wondering if I've got my laptop actually plugged in, but I have, so it's all good.
No good.
Yeah, I didn't, because my screen just went a little bit dark, and I was like, does that mean the battery is going? But no, do you know what? It's not. Something's going on here. What's happening?
Oh, wait, do we need
One
power?
of my plugs not working. Oh, do you know what it is? I haven't turned it on at the switch.
Oh, you
There
silly
we
moon.
go. It's because I've just changed the studio around. I want to see if it has like a bright idea to do something. That's better. It's just because it went dark and I was like, oh no, is the battery going to die? I have these bright ideas and I decide I want them done yesterday. So in the studio, so I've got like a green screen photo bit set up, and then this is already my podcast. And I had just boxes piled with costume and props and things, and I had some shelves above. The cats had climbed the shelves and pulled the shelves down, so they're all kind of wonky. And I was like, do you know what? I'm going to look for a vintage wardrobe to replace the shelves, and then all the costume can go in the wardrobe. Ended up finding a wardrobe and a dressing table, bought them last week, managed to get them here. I spent 3 days like rejigging everything and getting everything into the wardrobes. And so, yeah, my plug sockets are like in different places now, so I'm like just not switching stuff on.
Have you taken the shelves down, though?
I have taken the shells out. I did it myself.
I heard you say that there were them floating shells that can't hold any weight, and they suddenly go.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. The cats climbed them, and so I ended up taking them down. I don't know if you might have seen on my Instagram stories or something the other day, but I was standing on a stepladder trying to get to the top shelf to to get the screw out, and I was just that little bit too short because I'm only 5'1". So I was like, how can I make myself taller without going outside and getting the big ladder? And I couldn't be bothered to do that. So I ended up being very resourceful, and I dug out an old pair of stripper heels, proper 7-inch stripper platforms, and I put them on, and then I climbed the ladder. But it worked, and I didn't die.
Yeah,
I was like, I can do this, girl power.
Yeah, they serve their purpose.
Yeah, that was kind of my effort. So where is it you're based? Are you, you're in the north somewhere, aren't you?
Chester.
Is it in the north? Is it not in the
north? It's sort of like just south of the River of Liverpool, but like just on the border of North Wales.
Right, okay. So that's kind of the middle, is it?
No, top left.
Top left, okay.
Is that? I thought there's a map there, but no. Can you see that map?
Yes.
That's me. Liverpool's this bit here.
Right, okay.
And Manchester's about here.
Okay, so you are quite north.
I don't know if this is this flipped. I don't know if my webcam flips it. You get the gist.
No, I think it's the right way around. No, yes, it's like all your writing on your posters is the right way around. I can read it properly.
Okay.
So we're actually in a few films together, but we've never had any scenes together.
No, we've been in a few. Like,
I've got a list. I had a look through your credits.
I can't remember Grindsploitation. What else was there?
Grindsploitation. So whose segment were you in?
I was in one of Tony Newton's own segments.
Right.
Which was a bit abstract. I'd have liked his segment to have had a bit more story. I love Tony Newton if you're watching this, but it had no story. It was just random scenes of people killing each other, and then they appeared on the floor dead as that Mockingbird song was playing. There was no story.
Okay.
Yeah, it was
awesome. I was in Andy Edwards' segment, it was Alice in the Ultra Beyond, and it was shot in this space in London that's like an office space that somebody he knew had an office in there. But the office was like themed. So like the boardroom had a giant table of like the Queen of Hearts playing card, and there was like a giant Alice's skirt and legs, and you could like stand underneath, and there was like a big door and a tiny door. It was like an Alice in Wonderland themed office. It was like the most bizarre place. It was really cool though.
Yeah, perfect filming location.
Yeah, so we shot us in there. I can't remember what I even played. I think I was like some lawyer or something.
Oh.
Or, I don't know, or a secretary. I don't know. I remember I wore like a suit jacket.
What else was there on the list?
Well, I've got a clown face, but I don't know if you're actually in it, or did you do some production work on it?
I did a grimace then, sorry. I was meant to be in it, but it never worked out. That's the most polite way I can word that. I was one of the producers, although you wouldn't think I was a producer because I had like zero creative control. But yeah.
Okay, well, because I played a newsreader in that, which then segues into the next film that we're in together, because you played a newsreader in Harvest of the Dead Halloween Night.
I did Pete Goddard's film, yeah. I've wanted to work with Peter Goddard for ages because I really like him and I like his work. You know what it's like now you've moved up north. The public transport is so expensive to get to other parts of the country. And we were trying to work out ways for me to get to him that wouldn't cost hundreds of pounds. In the end, we just said, we'll have you as a newsreader, which was easy. I recorded it from
home. Did you shoot it yourself?
Yeah, it was just audio on the radio, but yeah.
Right, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I have noticed that. Like, I moved up north and it's like, oh, and now I haven't worked for ages. I think, like, last year I did one film. Because Horror on Sea's on at the moment. So at the time of filming this or recording this, you've actually got a film. I don't know if it's screened yesterday or today. Was it yesterday morning? So that's, what was it called?
Dracula Rise of the Vampire.
And it stars Caroline Munro. And
Pauline Park.
Pauline Pitt. Is Caroline not in it as well?
No, I think she was health reasons. I don't know how much I can say.
Okay, because I they were both at Horror on Sea, so I thought they were both in it.
No, she's probably in something else. I mean, she's a patron of the event or something as well. I mean, she's loved. She's always
I mean, she's usually she always pops in.
Yeah, but anyway, Eileen Daly, Dean Meadows, who also wrote and directed it. Who else was in it? Me, B. Peter Jackson played Dracula, who looks very much like Christopher Lee. He's like a northern Christopher Lee with a northern accent.
Well.
And I'm trying to think who else was in it. Kurt Dirt. I think you know Kurt Dirt. Do you know Kurt Dirt? I love him to bits. He was in it.
I feel like from Banjo.
Yeah, he did the soundtrack to Banjo, and I think he was
That's why
in the
then.
screen as well. Yeah. And there's a few other names as well. It's a decent film. Yeah,
Are you a
Creed.
lover of the old Hammer films? Because that was kind of based on based on one of the old Hammer films. Am I right?
I love some of them. I appreciate what they are, but I prefer anthologies, and Amicus tended to do more anthologies than Hammer. So when it goes to
Ah.
those films from that era, I prefer the Amicus anthologies, but they're all good. I like them all. They're of an era, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, I again, like, I hadn't watched all of that stuff, and Kyle's a big fan, so we've ended up like watching loads of it and over the last, couple of years. And I think you have to be like, if you watch a film, that you watch it when it's made. Obviously, technology and everything changes, and the way of acting changes, and then things can look really dated. And you have to get into that kind of mindset, I think, to sit and watch those old films and not feel like, I don't, because they're kind of very slow burning.
And like you
Yeah.
say, the attitude changed. I was watching a really old film the other day from the 40s called Unknown Island. You probably never heard of it. It was like a B movie ripoff of King Kong. It was
Right.
where these people go to an island and there's dinosaurs. It's a really fun film if ever you find it. I think it's in the public domain, so almost every streaming platform's got it.
All right.
But everyone is, it's so strange. Like, one of the main characters is this woman who funded the expedition. But there's a scene where one of their crew is eaten by two Tyrannosaurus Rex and ripped apart, and they shoot him to put him out of his misery because it's like kinder than letting him get eaten alive. And she's all, ooh, like dramatic women were back then.
Yeah.
And then in the very next scene,
That's
she
exactly
walks
how women
through.
act when someone's getting eaten by a dinosaur.
And the very next scene, she's walking through the jungle in a ball gown. And someone even comments saying, that's a bit fancy for the jungle, sweetheart. And she goes, I needed to cheer myself up. Like, don't cheer yourself up. Don't you do a dress? But that's my point.
That though. And then I kind of think I kind of want to be that woman that walks through the
Yeah.
jungle in a ball gown.
It's a fun film for all the wrong reasons, just because of the attitudes of the time. I mean, we're lucky today. Like, even though you and I have never met a dinosaur, if we were in a dinosaur film, well, I was in a dinosaur film, but if
You
ever we
were.
were, we kind of know what's happening because we've seen so many. We've seen the Jurassic Park films. We've seen all them films. But
True.
a woman in the 40s would have no idea. She'd like basically have it explained to her. She might have seen the puppet at some point, but she's no idea how to react. She's never seen a dinosaur film, but we have, so
I
we've
mean,
got the
but she'd
advantage.
know what a dinosaur was. You'd know they're big and scary, and you'd know, like, it could eat you. Wouldn't you? I feel like,
Hopefully.
yeah, I feel like you'd know that. And the director's there to say, no, be more scared. Like,
One scene where she says I was going for a walk, and you're like, hang on, you're in this jungle infested with dinosaurs and giant sloths that are just men in gorilla suits, and she just goes for a walk. Okay, I don't even take
but
drugs,
did
I've
you
got books.
see the last Jurassic Park or Jurassic World film, like last year's?
I did, I liked it.
Did you like
I liked
it?
it. I
I
liked it.
thought
What?
it was terrible.
I like what they did with the Spinosaurus. You know, the way they're now sort of like hunters that swim in the sea and attacking
Yeah,
groups
but
and camouflage
those
and stuff.
people have got on that boat, they've got to this island, all of this stuff happened. Bear in mind, the boat got taken out in the first instance by the Spinosaurus. Then at the end, they're like, I know how we'll escape. We'll get on a little dinghy and we'll go back to sea on this little boat, which they're going to get eaten, right?
They say near the beginning as well, they're somewhat like days from the nearest mainland or something. So how are they even going to, yeah.
Yeah,
And
so I was
but when you
like,
watch them,
I didn't think the characters had anything. I thought you didn't really care about any of the characters. There was no one that you were like, yeah, I'm really rooting for you. I didn't care. Even the family, I didn't care
no,
if they got
I don't
eaten.
think they
Like,
could
you
have
just,
shoehorned.
I
No,
just
I was
wasn't.
going to say, I don't think they could have shoehorned a family into there. The kids, they were misplaced. It didn't
Yeah,
seem
and then
right.
like the boyfriend who was an arsehole. And it's
But then he
like,
turned out okay.
yeah, you're like, the dad would have pushed him overboard long before the dinosaurs
Probably
got
have,
him. Like, I would,
yeah.
if I was on a boat with that kid, I'd have pushed him overboard.
Yeah, he
I'd
was
have
a
been like,
no,
dinosaur
definitely.
fodder.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. When you watch them films, though, there's a massive ensemble cast at the beginning, and you try and work out, okay, your dinosaur food, your dinosaur food. You try and work
Yeah.
out who will make it for the end, don't you? And it's obvious it's only going to be the two or three main characters. So you're
Yeah.
waiting for everyone to get eaten.
But yeah, I mean, even I just didn't really believe the casting. I didn't believe any of it, really. I know, like, it's a dinosaur movie, and we're not really meant to believe that that could happen right now. But I mean, even though the Jurassic World, like the trilogy, was kind of way over the top, I still like them. Like even the last one that a lot of people weren't so keen on, I was like, I still liked it. It's a fun dinosaur film. Like it's not. I think if you don't compare them to Jurassic Park, you like Jurassic Park franchise, then there's a Jurassic World franchise, and then this new one, like that was something on its own. I mean, I'd love to be, if they did another one, I'd love to be in one.
Oh, yeah, so would I. Yeah, great.
If there was a franchise or like a reboot or like either a reboot of something, like what old film, if they did a reboot of, would you like to be in?
I used to say Star Wars, but I'm probably going to get cancelled for saying this, but I think Star Wars is mega oversaturated since Disney bought them. When it used to be one new film every 3 or 4 years, and then like 10 years between trilogies or whatever it is, it was really fun. I really wanted to be in a Star Wars film, but in the last few years alone, there's been like 2 or 3 TV shows, a cartoon series, a spin-off, a prequel. It's oversaturated.
I mean, you wouldn't say no if they offered it.
No, I certainly would not say no. If anyone's watching this, please cast me in one, but I think it's oversaturated. So I don't know. I've always wanted to be in a mummy film.
Yes.
I really like, I like Egyptology and like...
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they are doing a new one. Isn't Brendan Fraser coming back? I keep seeing news articles about him doing it.
Yeah, I think him and Rachel Weisz, because obviously they did the Tomb of the Dragon Emperor, and they cast an American who I love her in Coyote Ugly, the actress, but she's not. You can't really have her play that character,
and it just didn't. Why didn't they just let the character out? Why didn't they just say she's off on an expedition, or the parents have separated?
I don't understand that. I never understand that when they do things like that. When you've got somebody so different playing, especially when a character is like really known and really loved, and they're like a main character, you either get somebody very close or just completely, I think, completely change them.
Yeah.
In soaps and things as well, when somebody leaves, it's like, why don't you just write that character out and then write a new character in rather than change their head?
Yeah. Because for fans of the show, it doesn't make sense. And it also means if ever they do a flashback, new viewers aren't going to understand. They're going to say, that's not the character.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I just think just change the character, especially in a soap, because you can, because these are made up characters. And like, no character is that loved that you need to keep that character. It's more that how the actor portrays that character. So you could kill them off, get a new character. Or write them out. Do something. Do something. Okay, so that's reboot. So franchise, then mummy, if you had to join a franchise. Because I'd love to be like part of the Scream franchise, but I think actually if you said to me Scream or mummy, I would probably pick mummy.
Yes, more fun. I like Egyptology. Scream franchise. Do you know what? I like the Scream films. I like them a lot. And I like Jenna Ortega a lot. But the last two Scream films, I didn't enjoy.
No, I mean, I'll still go and watch the new one. I know there's one coming out. I think this next month, February. I'll still go and watch it. But yeah, you're right. They don't have what the originals had. And I think even Scream 1 to 3, and then actually 4. When 4 came out, it was kind of 10 years later. And I think because you've kind of grown up with the characters, like when Scream came out, it was like when I was at high school and those characters at high school. And then it's like, you know, 10 years later, Neve Campbell's characters left high school and I've left high school and you've had the 10 years of life. So I feel like you kind of grew up with those characters, and when it came back, it kind of really worked. But,
well, I'm the same as Buffy. I was at high school. I'm more or less the same age as the characters in Buffy. I was in the same years at high school as they were. So like, now it's coming back. I'm like, I don't feel like I'm nearly 50, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't even feel like I'm in my 40s. I don't act like it, so it's fine. But I'm excited about the new Buffy. I mean, it's not going to be the same, but I love that she's in it. And that's what I've loved about the I Know What You Did Last Summer film that was out last year. Did you like that?
I loved it.
I loved it.
It took a minute to get what was going on. I mean, I liked it. I liked it. I'm glad the friends.
I did. And what I liked is it wasn't like, although the I Know What You Did Last Summer bit, it is a remake. It's like, you know, it's the same story. Like the kids did something last summer and it's, you know, it's come to bite them in the butt. Yeah. But I love that you kept the original characters. You didn't, it wasn't like a remake, a complete remake of exactly the same, like people playing those characters again. So I love that it was kind of more of a reboot than a remake.
I was going to say that, but I was scared about giving away spoilers because four of the characters that come back, apart from Freddie Prinze Jr., the three other characters that came back are a bit spoilery, so I didn't want to say who they were.
Yeah.
Because, do you know what I mean? But if anyone hasn't watched the film, stick it through.
I feel like it's been like nearly a year now, so people probably watched it. I think it's okay. I wouldn't, I'm not going to give the ending away, but because that was a surprise.
Very much so. And do you know
Didn't
what?
see
All the
that
way through the
coming.
film, I'm not going to say the character's name or the actress, but all the way through the film, when Sarah Michelle Gellar was in it, when Freddie Prinze Jr. came back, when the other woman came back, Ghost Whisperer, what's
Ghost
Gellar's name?
Whisperer, Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Yeah, when she came back, I watched the Strat 2 the other day, and I was like, there's Jennifer Love Hewitt,
Has
the
she in
chick in
that? I
the
don't know.
one of the extras. I don't think she had any lines. She's
Oh.
just one of the kids in the class, but you have to look out for her. She's in almost every scene. Like, Jennifer Love Hewitt. But yeah, and all the way through, I was watching. Oh, she's come back. She's come back. I bet this character's pissed off. They never asked her to come back. And then the end credits scene, and I was like, oh, there we go. Foot in my mouth. It
Yeah,
was a good
no,
film.
I
I'm glad
loved
it was.
it. Well, we're out of time for our first
Oh,
half,
excellent.
so you get to go and make another cup of tea. Who's on your mug? Who have you got on your mug?
Linda from Gimme Gimme.
So I've
Yeah.
got a, I thrifted this the other day. It's a brownies mug.
Were you in the Brownies?
Yes, and I was really proud of this because I was an imp, and that one there's an imp. She's actually got my brownie badge on. Although I had that tie, I had like the little crossover neck
Yeah.
thing. Yeah, I was a brownie. I love an
Well,
adventure. Maybe that stems from the brownies. I
it
don't know.
does.
It
Yeah.
does. Well, I'll see you back in part two.
See you in part two.
Welcome back to the Scream Princess podcast.
I didn't even end up going and making another cup of tea, you know. The cat woke up, she wanted to be stroked. And it's kind of a rare thing. She's only just started becoming affectionate. She's like nearly two now. Before, she'd only come and see you if she wanted food. Now she's like, I'll sit next to you and occasionally I want you to stroke me. So while she was in the in that mood of affection,
Long
she took up
time.
yeah, she took up my 10 minutes. But she I realized she dribbles now when she gets stroked as well, which is kind of cute. I know you're not a cat person, you're like, ugh, dribbling cats.
The bits of knives. I used to hate it when I was a kid because my mum and dad have always had cats. When I was a kid, we used to go up to the top of the stairs. There'd always be a cat at the top of the stairs ready to do that to your legs.
Yeah. Mine don't do that on the stairs, but they are ready to trip you on the stairs. She's actually really good. She doesn't get her claws out. So if she plays or anything, she's really, really gentle. But the boy, although he's really affectionate, he's like the opposite. He's always been really affectionate. But if there's food, he's got like food aggression and he'll just swipe you. Like today, this is actually gross, but she ate her food too quickly today and she was sick. But there was also a hairball. So I went to the bedroom, saw it, went in the kitchen to get stuff to clean up. As I came back, because her food had come up whole, you know how that happens, they just swallow it, and he was trying to eat that. So I was like trying to shoo him away. He grabbed the hairball that she'd sticked up and ran with it and then tried to attack me when I tried to get it off him. So
It's not even food, it was secondhand food, but he still
it's
wanted it.
secondhand food in a hairball, but he thought it was edible. Like he will literally eat anything. Like I now have to hide all food from the kitchen. Like yesterday, he was in the licking the top of the vegetable oil. Like he'd open the bottle and he was licking it, and so that's now in the cupboard. So yeah, he's really bad with anything. Like you can't eat in a room with him because he'll swipe it off your plate with his paw. Very naughty. But she doesn't do that. She's actually the well-behaved one.
Yeah, she's the good one. Did we get through your list? You said the films had worked together. I know there was the Peter Godard film,
Yeah, that
Grindsploitation,
was it. That was the list.
Clownfest.
No, I think that's it. I think that's all of the ones that we've been
Oh,
in together. I think we've worked with like the same people. I know you've worked with Dave Davis.
yeah. Quite a
And
few times.
I've worked with him, but like obviously not in the same. I think I
Were you
worked
in
in.
Three of the
I was in Three's a Shroud, but I wasn't in his segment.
You're in Andy Edwards' segment,
No, I
weren't
was
you?
in Dan Brownlee's segment.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so that's where I met Andy Edwards. So
Was
yes, that was a long time ago. I ended up doing this. That's when I think I was still at drama school, or I'd maybe just left drama school, and I hosted a celebrity ghost hunt for the Gore Zone magazine that was out at the time. So not like the original Gore Zone. It was like
Yeah, well, your viewers mind if I disappear for 30 seconds? Well, less
no.
than 30 seconds. Put that with them.
I'll tell this story. So
Yeah.
I met them on that. They were both doing like camera stuff, and then they were both making films, and they said, "Do you want to do a bit of my film?" And that's kind of, I think that's really where my horror thing started. I did bits in their films, and it rolled from there. So,
I don't know if this will come up on camera, but I've got it on DVD.
oh, you
A picture of the
have
back
it.
of
So that's the
the
one that Emily Booth, because she hosted it to start with, and then I was in one.
I've seen you in this one. I think there's a picture on the back with your blonde hair.
Oh,
You can't
yeah.
really see.
Yeah, I was still at drama school then. So it was after that I ended up, I think Emily might have been pregnant at the time
Oh, yeah.
and couldn't host like the next ones. So I think I did one or two. I can't remember. Maybe it was, I don't know. I did one or two anyway, and I did like the presenting bit for those. I think there was one
Yeah.
at the there was a pub near the Old Bailey in London, and there was another one at the Tombs, which is an attraction, but it was built on a plague pit, so I did one there as well. So yeah, so that's it was through doing that and then meeting like Andy and those guys and Dave that I ended up doing some of their films. I was in Monitor for Dave.
Yeah.
And then I nearly did like a ghost hunting type thing with him. We filmed a pilot, but then it was when there was the Beast from the East. So like the sound was all over the place because it was like the wind, and I just don't think it never materialized into anything.
Paranormal? Was that the paranormal?
Yes. It was going to be called
Yeah.
What's Out There, but we were calling ourselves Paranauts.
No,
Like
we were
astronauts,
both of them.
but for the
Yeah.
paranormal. God, good memory. That was ages ago. Yeah.
Years ago.
Do you do some ghost hunting stuff, paranormal stuff, or have I made that up?
Kind of. I've got the Blu-ray down here somewhere.
I felt like I there was something that you'd done.
Kind of. It's not really. Let me find the third one. Well, I did 2 seasons of this TV show called Apparitions. That's
Right.
season 2, Blu-ray.
I thought you'd done something.
There's only about 2 episodes that are about ghost hunting. I wanted to keep it like varied. I wanted it to be sort of like fact or fiction-y style, where one episode's about ghosts, one episode's about witches, one episode's about aliens. So it's like that, really. It's
Yeah.
not very good, I put myself, but it's all right.
Do you
Watchable.
know, though, I think I love that you're doing stuff yourself. Like you have an idea and you're going to roll with it, because otherwise it's people have ideas and it's like finding the production team, finding a production company to like back you. And you have these ideas that could never go anywhere. So I think it's best just to do it yourself.
It keeps you busy as well.
It does keep you busy. I never really went down the kind of YouTube route years ago. Like I've had a YouTube channel for years, but it's had like, my showreel on it and like a couple of things, like, never really done anything. But when I started the podcast, I put the podcast out on Spotify, on Apple, and Amazon, and it goes out on YouTube as the video. So then I was like, oh, I can do like some other bits and pieces for YouTube. And now I'm kind of enjoying like being able to do different areas. So I've got like different playlists, and I do like a vegan cooking thing, and then I do like the podcast, and then I've got like an unboxing thing and like just adventures and stuff. So it's kind of fun to mix it up.
Cool.
Yeah. But what is it then that you love about working in independent horror?
I like the freedom. I know that big studios get tied to stuff a lot. Like, people put money into something, it has to be done their way. I like the freedom with independent stuff. And I kind of like the people, because everyone knows each other. You know what it's like. It's like you work on a project, there's going to be at least 50% of the cast and crew you know already from somewhere else. So I like that, really. It makes it easier, it's more familiar.
No, it is nice. I feel like everybody is really nice. And I always think, like, and I get asked this a lot, what do you love about independent horror? And I always say it's the people, because you assume that people who work in horror are going to be a bit scary, but actually it's the opposite. Everyone's really nice.
Yeah, exactly.
And the competition, it's not, I feel like they support each other rather than compete with each other as well. I find there's a lot of that. And I feel like life is easier that way. It's nicer.
Yeah, definitely. You can see that in the pictures. Have you been following any of the posts from Horror on Sea this weekend? The other everyone's like, it's like one big group of mates, isn't it? That's all
Yeah,
over.
I know. I can't believe I'm not there. This is the first year, though, I haven't actually got anything screening. So I think since, no, I since, I think since 2000 and like 14, maybe I've had films in every year. Yeah, because I think we shot Serial Caller in 2013, and I think Serial Caller was possibly the first thing I had in it, and I think I had two films that year. So yeah, it would have been 2014, I think. So I've had films in every year. And I think last year was about, was it was like last year or the year before, I had seven movies in the
That was the
festival.
video that failed last year. It was, wasn't it? Was it?
I can't remember what
Video.
I was in last year. I mean, I went last year. I think it was the year before I had like seven. Last year I had maybe like four or five.
Yeah.
I had five in last year because there was like five of the 6 days, and they spread them out, so you have to go to like all of the days. I only went for one weekend, but the year before, obviously, I was still living in London, so I went to all of it. But this year, I'm not in anything because I've moved to the Northeast and I haven't filmed anything. I think the one film I shot last year, they don't submit because they already have a distribution deal, so it's like it goes straight to, the distribution company. I'm narrating the Horror on Sea documentary though, so my voice
Yeah.
is in it. I mean, I will be in
Yeah.
that. I'm in that, but I'm not actually in like, a feature film. So yeah, and I thought it's a long way to go. And when you're traveling to go to these things, you're paying for hotels, you're paying for travel, you're taking the time out of work. I'd need to find someone to look after the cats. And I think if I'm not really in much, like I can't really justify going. And I'd like to go to Egypt this year, so I need the money. So
Ooh,
we were talking
whereabouts?
about Egypt earlier. Have you been?
I have been twice, only twice though. I did the Nile cruise Upper Egypt about 2002, and then 2010 I did the Nile cruise again, but I stayed an extra week in Cairo just to see everything in Cairo as well.
I might have to, after this, I might have to pick your brains via chat because I haven't decided quite how I want to do it yet, but I want to do all the sights.
In my experience, the Nile cruise is the best thing because you do all of Upper Egypt, which you have to turn because their map's upside down. They call the top bit Lower Egypt, the bottom bit Upper Egypt. I don't know why. And that like takes you through like Aswan, Luxor, Komombo. You see everything, Island of Philae. You see all the temples and everything on the
And you do
cruise, which
like
is
the little
incredible.
excursions, you go and see them all.
Every day you stop in a different port and you go off in a tour group and look at that temple and you do
Yeah, so
whatever.
I might
Amazing.
look at that. We work because in the Northeast we can fly to Hurghada, but
Yeah.
that's kind of in the middle. And I thought, well, maybe I'll do like go there because I think he wants to have a chill as well. So I don't know where to go there and then do like a trip north and then a trip down to Cairo. But I don't know if you'd get to
No, I did
see
that
enough.
the second time I went. I did that. I didn't. It was it Hurghada? Yeah, it was Hurghada I went to. That's the one that's just off the from Sharm el-Sheikh. Yeah, I did like 3 days there, and then I did the Cairo trip for the next week. So yeah, do that.
Well,
You get a
maybe
bit
I'll
of
do that
everything.
then. I think because I
Yeah.
was going to book it just, for ease, just like book an inclusive thing and then book the excursions. But I suppose I could book to fly into one and fly out of the other. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll work it out. But
Yeah.
yes, I need money for holidays rather than spending it on film festivals this year.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we didn't go anywhere last year, and I feel like I needed a big adventure. Still.
Expedition.
Yeah, I need an expedition because if I had not become an actor, I wanted to be an archaeologist. What did you want to be if you hadn't been an actor?
Probably the same.
I don't know
Archaeology.
why I
Oh.
became an actor. Like when I was a kid, I wanted to be an archaeologist. That was the whole thing that I wanted to be. I think it was one of those things that, but similar to acting, you don't really know how to get there. But also, I think I was sick of studying like subjects like science and geography and those kinds of things, and I just didn't take those subjects at school. So, yeah, I
I
feel
know
like.
under what they want. Under 16, they've no idea what they want to be like 20 years down the
No,
line. So
I think it's kind of
too
good
early.
now because they have to stay on, don't they, till they're 18? Is it like you have to do sixth form? Is that right?
I think I don't know because I've not got teenage kids, but what I
No.
gather, I think we'll have to stay on till either sixth form, go to college, or do a workplace apprenticeship for 2 years.
But
They
that's
have to be
good
20.
because then no one has an excuse not to be qualified to do anything.
Yeah,
I
I think
didn't
that's
know
the
what I
idea.
wanted to do. Like I left school, I went and studied beauty for a year. Didn't like I mean I like beauty stuff, but I thought I don't really want to like work on people. And so then I went and did a travel thing. I thought, no, I like traveling, but I don't really want to work in travel. Then I studied fashion, and it was like, well, I love fashion, but I don't know if I want to do this either. And then I ended up kind of going into modeling and then, and then moving to
Want to
London. And
become
then
an
that was when I,
actor.
yeah. So like acting was like after modeling, I'd obviously done a little bit of acting during modeling and then ended up going to drama school. So it was like a natural path, but I feel like those, 4 years of college were kind of wasted. I should have just gone and studied archaeology, shouldn't I? Really? Could have gone and done
Well,
that, got a degree and then done this, but
oh.
hindsight.
Yeah.
How did you actually get into acting then?
It was a, well, I took acting classes when I was a teenager, but I never really did anything with it because I wanted to be a set designer. So I did like design at college and uni and everything. And then I just kind of like sidetracked. I ran a bar for a while, and then I did a bit of DJing when I was in the bar. Then I wanted to get more into performing through that because we did cabaret shows every weekend, and I was like, yeah, this is really fun. And I saw this opportunity to be part of a DVD on something. It was something to do with ghosts, actually. And I said, yeah. And at the last minute, I chickened out and said no. And I instantly regretted pulling out. I thought, no, I was like, I could have got into acting through that. And so I decided to like make a U-turn and get back into acting. That was about 2004, I think, over
Right.
20 years ago. Yeah, it's kind of like just a regret thing. I should have done
Yeah.
it as a teenager, but never did.
Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? I think it is hard when you're young to know what you want to do. And I think everybody always, I mean, life's a journey, isn't it? You always end up kind of doing something. You think you don't know how you got there sometimes, but it just.
Well, I don't know how to get there. If you'd have asked me 20 years ago to how to get to where I am now, I'd have no idea.
Yeah,
It just
because
so
acting's
happened.
not like a job, is it? That you grow when you grow up, unless that maybe if you are if you come from like a theatre family or an acting family, like really, it's something that even if your parents aren't in the industry, it's like, well, that's not a sensible job, which is right. It's not a sensible job. It's definitely not.
No.
But yeah, knowing how to get into that industry to break your way in is tricky. And a lot of it is who you know. And I think with auditions and things, it's like, you know, people say if you do 100 auditions and you're lucky to get one, like, I don't have time to do 100 auditions to get one. Like, I need to make money in order to live. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I think that's a tough one, which is easier now, actually, with video auditions. You don't have to, like,
Yeah.
travel
That's pretty safe.
into places to do them so much now. So, you know, there's that.
It's easier to forget as well. Like in-person auditions, you remember you did them because you spend time researching it, you travel all the way there, you sit in a waiting room to be called in, and you remember it. When it's a video audition, you just film it and then forget about it straight away, so you
But
don't
also,
remember you did it.
like, I mean, I much prefer a video audition. I hate going into room auditioning because I'll, like, I'm really good on set. I know my lines going to an audition. I'll probably forget my name. Like, I hate them. But I think when it's video, you don't have any nerves because you can do it again. And the only con of that really is that then the director doesn't get to work with you. They can't say, oh, can you do it like this? Can you do it like this? I mean, I suppose if they like it, they can come back and ask you to do another one a different way. But so, I mean, it's nice that you get to work with a director sometimes in an audition, but that doesn't always happen, does it? Sometimes you go in and you kind of do your bit and then you go out and you feel like, well, that was like, you know. So I've never been a fan.
When you go into them auditions, and it's like the X Factor, there's like three people at a table,
Yeah, it's
and you're like, which
horrible.
one's the director, which one's the client, which one's, and you're just told to read the lines and then leave, and you're like, I never got to meet them or anything. It was
Yeah,
weird.
and then you sort of leave and you think, that's taken me, by the time I've sorted out my train, I've learned the lines, I've done all of this, that's like the best part of a day. And you feel like you've kind of wasted your time sometimes because they know what they want that character to look like. And a lot of it is not even on your audition, is it? Like, I've done horrible auditions and got the job, or I've done auditions that I thought I did really well and never hear anything back from. So you kind of,
There's an
they.
audition I went for a few years ago. My friend Hayley Cartwright, she also went for the same role. And in the audition, we both had to dress up as a giant cat with like a cat head on and a tail. And we had to attack someone with our tail and beat them to the floor. And that is like really embarrassing, isn't it? So we were humiliated.
I suppose it's
But
okay if you've got a
regardless,
cat head on and no one knows that you're in there.
it's embarrassing. Neither of us got the job, but then it was for an advert. And then a few months later, the advert actually came on TV. And the person who got the part wasn't even dressed as a cat, they were just in a suit. We were thinking, why did they have us dressed as cats in the audition? And it was like, what? And the worst part is my trousers split. I didn't notice till I got out, and I thought, I'm a bit cold. And I looked, and they split from front to back, down the
No,
bottom. You know
they
what?
should have just given you the
And I thought,
job.
that must have been on camera. They were probably there pissing themselves watching that back at the end. Thankfully, it was near. The audition was near. Where was it? It was near the Trafford Centre or somewhere like that, so I could just go in and buy a pair of pants for the way
I
home.
wonder why they got you to dress as a cat then. Or do you think they just changed their mind? The client changed their mind and was like, this is a little bit silly. Maybe they had the audition to test out how it was going to go, and then they're like, no one can really pull this off. I don't know.
I don't think they had an idea what they wanted, so they were just making it up as they went along, and then
Yeah.
they went with what looked best, and
But I mean,
that's
for
it.
most characters, it's like, if they say you're casting a family, they want to cast somebody that looks like an existing family member because they want the casting to look like you're a family. So if you don't look the part, you're not going to get it. Or, you know, for other characters, the writer's got an idea of what they want for that character. So really, it's on whether you like your profile fits the bill, because the acting bit they'll work with.
Yeah, exactly. You get a
Like,
director that tells you how to do it, don't you?
exactly, that's their job. So, yeah, I mean, this is again why I like the independent industry, because people just give me jobs. They're like, Danny, do you want to do this? Yes, please. And then that's how it works now.
The most part, we just get to make it up as we go along.
Yeah, that's it.
The script,
Yeah,
but you do
Danny,
get
have you
your
learned your
partner.
lines? No? Did I need to? No, I'm kidding. I'm
There's
kidding. I
freedom,
always
though,
learn my
isn't there?
lines.
It's more casual. There's more freedom as long as we know what the
Yeah.
character is. We do get a lot of freedom with films, I think, to not do what we want, but kind of like work it the way we want to work it.
Yeah, especially if you've worked with the directors before. Like, I tend to work with a lot of the same people over again, so then they'll know what dialogue to give you. Because also your accent, I wouldn't say certain words in a way that somebody else would say necessarily. So I like, for instance, like Kyle's Geordie. So if I give him something to say, he's going to say it in a completely different way, and I'd have to rejig the dialogue if he was going to use his accent. But
I've noticed that we, because you're Southern, I'm Northern, we both say cinema differently. I say cinema with a H at the end. You say cinema with an R at the end.
Cinema. Yeah.
Cinema. Like,
well, you know, he calls it the pictures. Doesn't even call it the cinema.
My grandmother used to call it the pictures.
No, that's what they call it up here. Pictures and film. They call a film a film.
I thought that was an Irish thing, film.
No, it's a Northern thing as well.
Mm.
Film and pictures. And also, so this is one that I... Ladder. So one ladder is a ladder, right?
Yeah.
Two ladders is ladders.
Yeah.
They call one ladder a ladders. Can you get me the ladders? Do you mean the ladder? No, I mean the ladders. I'm like, but it's only one ladder.
It's one.
It baffles me. But my friend does it as well. He's from up here, and I'm... Yeah. I'm like, but it's one ladder.
Yeah.
It's not a pair of ladders.
No, like scissors. I've confused things there.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Yeah, because you wouldn't call... Yeah, but then you call it a pair of scissors, don't you? Cause
exactly, yeah.
Or in the bottom, a pair of ladders. A pair of ladders to me would be two ladders. Two separate ladders. That's a pair of ladders.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very strange. It is very strange. So what would you say is the most challenging scene you've ever had to shoot?
I don't know.
Or the most challenging production you've ever been on that you're allowed to say without offending people.
I'd get in trouble for life, Belle, if I said no. I'm pretty easygoing. It takes a lot to really annoy me. I very rarely get annoyed. And even then, I'm kind of like, do this little Queenie strut, walk off, and people don't even notice I'm in a bad mood because it's that subtle. But I've had a few nightmare productions, but you just put up with it, really. There was one day on Dracula Rise of the Vampire, the film, I shot it the year before last. My last night of filming, I got really short with the cinematographer, Jason Impey. Do you know Jason Impey?
I've met him. I wouldn't say I know him. Yeah. I've met him and said hello to at festivals and things.
Yeah, but I really, really like him. He's a really good friend of mine. And he was a cinematographer on my very, very last night of filming. It was an overnight shoot, so I'd stayed up from like all day, all night, and it got to like 4 a.m. And because we were running behind, my scene got cancelled filming. And I was like, I was in such a bad mood because I stayed up and I was knackered.
I'd be furious.
I took it all out on Jason, and I felt really sorry for him afterwards. I was sending him all these messages the day after saying, sorry, I was so unprofessional, I didn't mean to take it out on you, I was in a bad mood. And he didn't even notice I was in a bad mood, because I'm that subtle when I'm angry. So it takes a lot to really...
Oh, I'm not subtle when I'm angry.
The camera guy. But yeah.
Yeah, I'd be furious, and I know it happens, but I don't even like it when you've got a scene and it's like, and the schedule, you know, I know like they schedule things because it's like you want to wrap somebody or you want to like, you know, shoot because of somebody's makeup's got to be changed or whatever. But sometimes you're like, well, you could have shot my scene because no one's makeup's changed. Everyone else has to stay for the next scene. You could have shot that scene and I could have gone. And especially when you've got a long drive, like I've had that when I've been down south and I've been having to come back up north, and I'm like, why wouldn't you have wrapped me? Because then I've got like a 4-hour drive, and you've rather than, you know, because everyone else has got to stay anyway. So that annoys me. Yeah. I feel like people do the scheduling sometimes don't get that right, and that stresses me out.
Yeah, that happens with prosthetic makeup. You have someone that's like 2 hours in makeup, and you think they could be shooting other stuff while they're doing that, but then they're all rushing at the end of the day to get everything in before they lose the daylight, and you're like, well, you could have shot this while you're doing makeup on such a person.
Yeah.
Yeah. That happens at all.
That happens, yeah. I mean, especially, I suppose in low-budget films, like, I know when I've shot stuff, I'm the person that does, like, if I've got a production, I have written it, I'm producing it, now I might be directing it, I'll also have done the catering, and I've done all the scheduling, so I'm really meticulous. And I like that, you know, it's got to stick to my plan.
Well, that way, if anything goes wrong, you've only got yourself to blame as well.
And that's why I do it all myself as well, because then I know it's done. And I have people on hand to help me in the day to, like, keep on top of things. But, yeah, all the planning, like, is done, and then I can relax.
Yeah.
That's usually the way. So what filmmakers inspire you, or what actors have inspired you?
This is, I always get asked this one, and I never know because it changes all the time. When I first started out, the actor that inspired me was Zena Zeberg, and I used to use that answer a lot when I was asked this, but it's like she's not really acted much in the last 20 years, and I've not really followed her career anyway, and you think it's a bit of a dumb answer because no one knows who she is. It's like,
I
so
don't.
I don't know. She's a German actress. She was famous in the 90s. The biggest thing she did was Lex. Did you ever watch Lex, the sci-fi series in the 90s? She was the main character in that for like 3 seasons. But yeah, exactly.
I'm not really a sci-fi lover. Are you a sci-fi lover?
Sci-fi lover. I like, but the thing is, I get let down by sci-fi. It's kind of like if me and sci-fi were married, I'd probably keep getting divorced and marry them again because I really love sci-fi. But every time I sit down to watch a sci-fi film, I'm like, this is terrible. They're just focusing on the effects and there's no story. There's
What
no.
did you think about the new Alien series?
I liked it, but I got to the last episode and I was like, oh, it's over. Nothing happened.
Yeah.
Literally, just as the story gets started, it ends, and you're like, is there another episode? No, I watched them all. What happened? Like, the alien eye escaped the tank. He got into the building, looked for his sister. He's met his sister. Where's the rest of the story? There was nothing. Else. It was good.
You know, leave it
Really
open
good.
though. They might do another one, right?
There had been another one, but it was like, just as the story started, it ended. I'd have liked more. But it was
Yeah.
good. It was good. What I am watching at the moment that I'm really enjoying, I'm only about 3 episodes in, is this when it escapes me. Wayward on Netflix. It only
Okay.
launched the other day. Yeah. It stars Toni Collette, you know, from Your Terrible
Yes.
Muriel's Wedding. Toni Collette. She's the leader of this cult. And it's like a high school. And when people have got wayward kids or naughty kids, they send them to this high school and she can form them into this cult. And it's really good. I was
Oh,
only
I
going to
might
watch one
start
episode.
that because I need a series. I
Yeah,
go
I'm on
through
about.
phases with the stuff I watch. Like, I go through, like, I watch all this crime stuff, and then I'll go through not true crime. I watch, like, crime dramas. I don't like
Yeah.
true crime, it's too scary because it's stuff that really happened.
Ooh.
But I've just gone through a phase of what, or then I, or I like really like glamorous, trashy stuff. So I've just watched a series called The Hunting Wives, which is like so trashy and silly, but it's addictive. And then I've just watched another thing called the Grosse Pointe Garden Society, which wasn't quite as good. And now I'm out of series, so I may start Wayward.
Wayward on it, only launched the other day. It's really good. Toni Collette's brilliant in it because she's sort of like fake pleasant with everyone, but you can tell she's really sinister. She's really good in it. It's
I
wonderful.
love a good binge watch. And I do find like sometimes there's something and I'll start watching it thinking it's going to be really good and I'll feel really let down. I think the last one was something with Julianne Moore in. I can't remember what it was. And I really love her usually. And that was a
Yeah.
series and it was like a, you know, they. This expensive like town that they live in and everyone's really posh and rich and like and then I was like really let down by it. It wasn't that good. I persevered thinking it would get better, but it didn't. I can't remember what it's called. But yeah, I go through phases. Well,
Yeah.
what is there a director then that you'd really love to work with?
I'm reaching for the moon here. This is a director I probably never get to work with, but I would like to work with. What's the name? Now, her name has escaped me. She played Jennifer in Back to the Future movies. She directs now, and she directs some bloody brilliant television. Every time I see her name as a director on a TV episode, it is a really good episode. Do you know who I mean?
I know what you mean because
Jennifer.
I know Back to the Future, but I couldn't tell you her name.
Yeah, she directed most of Star Trek Picard season two. She directed a few Law and Orders. And every time you see her name as a director, it turns out to be a really good episode. And you're
Oh.
like, yeah, I'd like to work with her one day. She's
That's
literally
like
said
an
she's going for
obscure
it.
one to choose. I like that.
Yeah.
Good answer.
It's just whenever I notice her name pop up and it's completely slipped my brain now, but as soon as I
Yeah.
see it again. Not that I'd ever work with her because she works in America and there's like zero chance of me getting cast in a big
You never
American show
know,
if
do
it.
you?
You never know. But yeah.
Powers of positive thinking. Put it out there, manifest it. She might watch this for some reason. She might somehow find herself watching the Screen Princess podcast and she'll be like, well, he'll be perfect for my next project.
It's like in that film, Loch Ness. Have you ever seen Loch Ness?
No.
It's from the 90s. No, Mr. Dempsey, you've got to believe it before you can see it. You know, which is on about
Yeah, I
seeing the
used to
Loch
watch
Ness Monster.
Family Nest. Can you remember that?
I had a thistle whistle. Did you have a thistle whistle?
No.
It's like a little plastic whistle you could blow into and it made the noise, you know, from the cartoon.
No, I used to like the cartoon though.
Yeah, I did it, yeah. I'm not going to sing the theme tune. It'll embarrass everyone involved, but I know the
Was
lyrics
that
to the
you'll
theme
never find a Nessie in the zoo? That was the end bit, right?
tune. I'm not going to sing it, you know, you can't.
It was a good show. So speaking, we were speaking earlier about franchises, remakes, and reboots and things. You were in Bill and Ted.
I was. Do you know what though? It's like whenever I'm at a convention, like it's a big franchise, Bill and Ted. They did three films. They did two films in the 80s and 90s in the cartoon series. They did a live action series that nobody
I used to
remembers.
love the cartoon as well. I remember watching that when I was a kid.
But I always forget I was in it. And whenever I get someone coming up to me at a convention asking me to sign some of Bill and Teddy, like reconnecting my brain because it was shot during COVID, my scenes, and it was shot remotely. So I never got to go on
Oh, so you
set or
didn't get
anything.
to, that's what I was going to ask, if you got to meet Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter.
No, it's like it was Orion Pictures. Was it Orion Pictures? It was someone like that. No, not Orion. I forget the name of the studio that made it. And then for post-production and the end credits, it was a company in Italy that made it. And they're the ones that I worked for. And that was done like year, maybe a year after production. And that was
Right.
done during lockdown, during COVID. And it was all shot remotely. So it doesn't even feel like I was in it, but I am in it. Like I got credited and it's like a really cool, during the end credits montage when everyone's dancing to the new song, I'm in that scene. But
And you're in the
I
bath,
always
aren't
forget.
you?
I'm in the bath, yeah.
I
Yeah, I'm in the
don't
bath.
think I've seen it. I've seen a bit of it. I don't think I've seen the whole film, but I was like, I must ask if you actually ended up working with them.
No, I'd love
But
to. I
that's
would
a cool
come
one to say you're in, isn't it? That would be like saying I'm in a Jurassic Park or Scream, you know, like there's a massive cult
to.
following for that, you know, for Bill and Ted. So yeah, that's a good claim to fame, that one. I like that one. What
It's a good
other
film, though.
questions
It's
have I
more like the
got for
first part of
you?
the
Got
second
more.
film, but we're different. Go on,
Okay.
what were you saying? I was
I
just
was saying
telling you the
what?
first film, but the plot's more or less the same as the second film, but with their daughters instead of them. So it's
Yeah.
like,
And
it's nothing
actually,
new, but.
Samara Weaving, because she started out in Home and Away. So I remember watching her in Home and Away. But she's had a really good career in, like, she was in Bill and Ted, but then she's had a really good career in horror, because she's done the Ready or
She's
Not,
quite
the
interesting.
Babysitter.
Which, no, she wanted Stranger Things. Well, she, I'm thinking of the other one.
No, she wasn't
Uma
in Stranger
Thurman's
Things.
daughter. Who's Uma Thurman's daughter? Maya Hawke. That's what I'm thinking of. Ignore me. But
Yeah.
yeah, the baby films, they're brilliant. I really enjoy them. There's a two or three of them. They're on Net, is it
I
Netflix?
think
Really
there's
good.
two. And then there's the
They're really
Ready or
good.
Not. And I think, is it Ready or Not 3 that's coming out? So that's due
I'm not
out
sure
this
about it.
year. So I'm looking forward to that one. That was actually going to be one of my next questions. Like, what films are you looking forward to seeing this year?
Well, I haven't seen the new Anaconda film yet with Jack Black. I know,
No,
like
I
all
haven't. I
the.
want to go and see that. I don't know if it's, is it still in the cinema?
I don't think it is. I
They
think
don't
it's
stay
ended.
in very long now, do they? It's like you've got a week
No,
to watch
I think it was
something.
Boxing Day, like New Year's Day, it's finished. I've heard it's really bad, but I still want to see it because I like Jack Black
I
and I'm a
like Jack
fan of all
Black
the
and I
films.
like Paul Rudd. Like, Paul Rudd can not really do anything wrong, can he? And I suppose Jack Black never really gets it wrong either. So,
Yeah.
I
That'd be
mean,
a
the
good one.
Anaconda films in themselves, like the Anaconda and Anacondas, they're not meant to be good, are they? They're meant to be like B movie-esque. So,
Just for monster movies.
yeah.
But what I
I
will
mean,
say about the Anaconda.
I like both of those anyway. So I do want to watch it.
Yeah. I just want a little old man on my soapbox complaining thing here about the Anaconda films. I like the Anaconda films, but it's so hard to watch. This is why people should buy physical media. I don't have them on DVD or Blu-ray, but the first Anaconda film is on Netflix. The second Anaconda film, I think, is on something like Disney Plus. The third Anaconda film is on the Sky Store. You've got
I
to
didn't
pay for
even
it. The
know there was
fourth
a
one is
third
on
one.
Netflix. It's about six. They made four of
Oh.
them, and then they did two crossovers with Lake Placid. Remember the Lake Placid film with the
I
giant
remember the
couple?
first one.
With Betty White, she was brilliant in it, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, they did two crossovers with that. So there's about six Anaconda films and then the new one. But they're all on different platforms, so you can't watch them all.
That's
And
really annoying.
it annoys me. I got in such a mood the other day because I watched the first one, then I watched the second one. I was like, well, where's the third? Oh, it's in the Sky Store. Where's the fourth? Oh, it's on
Yeah.
CBX Max or something like
And
that.
you
It's like,
can't
you've got to.
subscribe to everything because you'd be paying an absolute fortune. I've got Prime and I've got Netflix, and then I've got some of the apps that have some, like, you know, the old free horror apps and things with the old stuff
Like
on. But
Tubi and Fourth and I've got the free stuff as well, haven't
yeah, like I've got Tubi, but that usually has loads of shit on it. Stuff
we? There's some good
that
stuff,
I'm
yeah.
in.
Yeah, I'm a lot of shit on Tubi as well, but there's some good stuff.
There is some good stuff, but this is the same with all of them, actually. You can scroll through Netflix for ages trying to find something. Well, not so much Netflix, Prime. I'll scroll for ages trying to find something I want to watch, or something will look good, I'll start it. And you've got 10 minutes, and if it's not good in 10 minutes, I'm not going to persevere. Because
Don't
there's
look
been times
past
I
it.
have persevered, and it's, you know, I've regretted it.
spend more time scrolling than watching the show.
Yeah, I do. I'll scroll, 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 and I'll be like, I'll give up. I'm going to read a book, or I'm going to play a game on my phone or something. So is there a genre that you would like to work in that you haven't yet?
Sci-fi.
Have you not done any sci-fi?
Yeah, I was in Doctor Who, but it wasn't really sci-fi because it was like period. I was dressed in like 1910s clothes on
That's
a
cool,
replica of
though.
the Titanic. So I love being in Doctor Who, but it wasn't sci-fi. There was no like laser guns, robots. There was none of that really. So I didn't really
Yeah.
feel like I was in sci-fi, but sci-fi really. For anything, I'm not picky. Any work anyone's got, I'll take on. But it's yeah, sci-fi. Or some kind of thriller film. Like maybe not so much horror, maybe a bit more thriller, like a psychopath or a serial killer type thing that's a bit
Yeah.
different to normal.
Have you played a baddie?
I have, I think. Yeah, I must have done.
You must have done, because you've done a lot.
I must have done.
Do you get a lot of casts of like a lot of the same types of characters? How do you think people see you?
I used to, when I was like in my 20s, I was always just cast as like the boyfriend or the husband or the everyman. Since I've gotten a little bit older, I tend to like only get considered to play dads, and I don't look like a dad. I don't act like a dad, so I hardly ever get the part. So I tend to just be these one-off, one-scene characters that don't fit into the main plot.
Well, you got a
You know what I
priest
mean?
in the vampire one.
Yeah, I played priest about 6 times. It's
I quite like
hard
that
to
for you. You're like keep getting cast as a priest.
No, it's because I've got all these promo pics of me in the dog
Yeah.
collar and everything. Oh, he plays a priest. I should get pictures of me dressed as like
I
an
did get cast as
Egyptologist.
a nun in something, but then it never got made. And I think they're still trying to make this film. It's from years ago, so I kind of
You're allowed to say what it was.
I can't remember what it was called. It's still not been made, and I dropped out because there was no money. So I'm like, I can't work for free because I've got bills and I need to eat. So I dropped out, but I kind of like that I got cast as a nun in something because I don't really think I have a nun look, but
No,
without
complete
the
opposite.
makeup, maybe. So I'm going to finish up with a bit of a quick fire round. So you have to give me your first answer for these. Final girl
Right.
or villain?
Final girl.
Slasher or supernatural?
Supernatural.
Best decade for horror?
80s.
Early call time or late night shoot?
Late night shoot.
Would you? Oh, I'm the opposite. Jump scares, love or hate?
I hate them.
Do you?
I
Oh,
love
I love
them.
them.
I love them at first, but they're overused. Every film has one now. Whenever the music goes quiet in the background of a shot, you're just waiting for it to go and make it.
It
See,
always makes me
they're
jump, though.
effective.
They always get me, even if I know it's coming.
Yeah, do they
I'm.
scare your cat? Your cats go and go, don't
No, the cats tend to sit. Like when we're watching a movie, they'll tend to sit on the chairs at the dining table and they watch us from afar. I mean, she's sitting with me now, but this is kind of rare. She does it more in here than she does when I'm in the living room. Like if I'm in the studio, she'll want to sit next to me. It's weird. Yeah, they don't really sit next to us on the sofa. So what have you got coming up next?
Coming up next,
Yeah.
I think the foggiest. There was a film I shot with my friends at Hellbound Media, who I think you know because they worked on Banjo and Clownface and that. There's an anthology called Bloodstream. I've shot all my scenes for that, but it's currently in post-production. That's the next thing. I'm hoping that's out this year. I think they just want to redo a special effects shot and
Right.
finish it. And there's something that I'm going to mention his name here because he's been part of my life for such a long time. But Kieran Hollett, we started these two films called Blood Curse about 12 years ago, and they're still not bloody finished. Every time I think they're finished, he says, no, we need to do this, we need to do that. And they are really good films. I mean, he puts himself down. He says they're really crap. No one will want to watch them. Every time I see a bit of the film, I'm like, oh my God, this is almost mainstream quality. This could be an
Wow.
Insidious film, the quality of it. But he won't say that. He'll say it's crap. We just need to
He sounds
finish
like
Home.
somebody who needs to like just put it out there because he's one of
He's
those
been up the whole
perfectionist
film
type
again, hasn't he?
artists that have to,
Yeah.
it's never going to be finished otherwise. You have to just get to the point where you go, it's done.
I keep saying, so what's left to finish? And he says in the first film, because it's a film of two halves, in the first film, there's one scene where we need to say, I'm going to meet my friends, because in the next scene, she's with her friends. And I'm like, well, can't we just botch it? Can't you just do it in like cut to a close-up of a note on the desk saying, I've gone to meet my friend. Or anything. He's like, no, I need to schedule filming. I need to organise this. And
oh, you need to get it done and you need to get it out there.
They're really good films as well. I feel like I'm slating him, but I love him to pieces. He's my best friend. So let's get them finished, Kieran. Make 20.
Yeah, I want to see the movie. Get it finished, Kieran.
Yeah.
And on that, we're going to have to wrap up because we're literally going to get cut off. So thank you so much for coming on the show, being my first guest for 2026. And we must work together on something where we get a scene together.
We have to. It's about time, isn't it?
It is about time. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day.
You too. Thank you.